Would y'all join me in prayer? Lord, with the sound of our children leaving this space, we lift them up to you with thanksgiving for the gift of their lives and with great hope that your Spirit will form them. That in this time of learning the stories of all that you have done among your people, that their imaginations would be formed, that their identity would be set firm, that they would know themselves to be your beloved. We thank you for those teaching them. Lord, we pray the same thing for ourselves in this space, that the stories of who you are and all that you've done would firmly ground us in our identity as your beloved, that we might live truthfully in this world. Lord, may the meditations of my heart, may the utterance of my lips be pleasing unto you. Pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind or the Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God said, "Let waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, and for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God. Stories are incredibly powerful. And throughout time, every single culture and every land on the face of the earth, stories have been told, and not just for entertainment, perhaps least of all for entertainment. Stories are told to form cultures. Stories are told to direct politics and to shape imaginations, to cast vision, and maybe most powerfully, stories are told to bestow and to reinforce identity. Stories are told to tell people who they are. Stories are told to foundation of identity for families, tribes, or identity, for providing a foundation for identity. Perhaps the most important kind of a story, when it comes to bestowing and reinforcing identity, the most important kind of story, the most powerful kind of story, is called an origin story. The story about our beginning, a new season or a new direction in life. Families beginnings, that narrative of the context of our relationships that formed us before we were adults or later in life. Or perhaps we're talking about the beginnings of nations or religions, the imagination of whole people groups and call them forward in a shared direction toward a shared identity and a shared destiny. Origin stories have that kind of power, the kind of power that forms a vision of life and tells people together into them. Stories are powerful, and origin stories are the most powerful among them. To get a sense of what I mean, just take a moment to think about the way origin stories operate in the States to craft and to perpetuate this sense of a so-called American identity. I mean, think about the way our nation's leaders, whether that's education, whether that's in politics or religion or business, think about the way that our leaders tell our stories. It seems that they are all intent on us believing that we are an exceptional country, that we are the greatest nation in all of history, that we are a light on a hill, that we are a force for good in the world. These are powerful messages that are communicated to us primarily in the form of stories, and primarily in our origin stories. At least the parts of our origin stories that serve the interest of creating a narrative of American greatness. Origin stories are very powerful. And they're particularly important in any time of crisis. Any time where one's sense of self or one's sense of personal direction comes under question, any time that a whole people's experience or purpose becomes unclear or suffers some form of external threat, in those moments of crisis, the origin story becomes central to the ability to move forward. I think about when in my own life, particularly in ministry, when things are really difficult, when I become vocationally insecure, when I wonder if I'm doing what God would have me do, it's my origin story, the call to ministry story that I go back to. And I remember how God so clearly told me, this is who you are. This is why you belong here. This is your purpose. I go back to that story over and again because it reorients me. I'm disoriented. It reestablishes a path forward. It reinfuses me with a sense of God's vocational identity. Origin story. Powerful. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's an origin story. A story that is crafted to give us a sense of shared identity and destiny and direction and way in the world. I would suggest that this is not just an origin story, but this is the origin story, a story written first for Israel, but also for all of us who are incorporated or adopted into Israel's story through Jesus. And I actually believe even further than that, that this is the origin story that is intended to bestow and to cultivate a deep sense of identity for all of humanity. It is designed to continually remind us where we come from and to cast a vision for where we are heading, and to call us to become who we are created to be. The Bible scholars that I find most compelling in their work with the book of Genesis argue that though it's the very first book you come to when you open the Bible, it is very likely one of the later books in the Hebrew Scriptures to have been written. According to that analysis of the text, Genesis was likely written after Israel's captivity in Babylon. After they had returned back, the captives had returned back to the lands of Israel.
after they've begun to rebuild Jerusalem and their sacred temple, probably later, mid to later 6th century BC. And that history, that part of the story, that moment of the writing of the Genesis narrative is incredibly important. Because it's after 2 generations of forced captivity in a foreign land that this half generations after Babylon invades Palestine, levels Jerusalem, and forcibly deports thousands of Jerusalem citizens to Babylon, this story arises. Ethnic assault experienced by Africans and by First Nations people in the first imbibe origin stories that are not their own. We're forced to imbibe stories that set above them the superiority, the and First Nation people, the people of Israel too, were stripped away from the land that carried the stories that grounded their identity. They were stripped away from that land and forced to drink in stories that were not their own. They were assimilated into Babylon's culture and Babylon's religious rituals. And there was one story in particular, another origin story, called the Enuma Elish, that formed Babylon's sense of collective identity. Babylon had its own origin story that set their trajectory in the world and hoisted it upon their captives, upon Israel. And in this story, there is not one God. There are many gods. In this story, all of creation comes into being as a result of horrific violence. Violence at the hand of violent and vindictive and warring gods. According to the Enuma Elish, the first gods were Aksu, who was fresh water, and Tiamat, who was salty water. And when these waters... What's your name, Nathan?
Yeah.
Nathan? But Nathan, you... Aksu. Aksu, fresh water, Tiamat, salty water, come together. And in a swirl of chaos.
Call me fresh water. Houston, the professor, I'm calling my back.
We'll be right here when you get back. When these two sources of water come together and they swirl in chaos, they produce children, younger gods. And Apsu the father gets so angry at the noisiness of the younger gods, he decides to kill them. That's what kind of god we're talking about. And Tiamat hears that her children are under threat, so she warns them, and one of her children then murders Apsu, his father. This is an origin story. And Tiamat is then so enraged at the loss of her lover that she creates 11 horrible monsters to war against and destroy her children. And among her children, one arises as a champion, a god called Marduk. And Marduk murders his grandmother Tiamat and takes her body and rips it in two, and from the bloody halves of her corpse creates heaven and the earth. And goes after Tiamat's new lover, Kingu, and takes Kingu's blood and makes humanity. This is a very different kind of origin story. This is an origin story born in violence and born in oppression. And any kind of origin story is born in violence, it is birth violence. Any kind of origin story oppression, it will birth oppression. What are our origin stories, friends?
All right.
Babylon's story was one of violence and oppression, and out of that story came a violent people who oppressed others. That is the power of our stories. Our stories work on us. Our stories craft our attitude. See the world, therefore, the stories produce in evidence. The Enuma Elish, a violent story justified the violence that Babylon suffered and the oppression that they experienced. It is the story to which Genesis 1. It is the story to which Genesis 1 is a counter narrative. It is an act of subversion. It is a refusal of a false story with the declaration of a true story that sets people free. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Without form, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Do you hear the echo of Enuma Elish? It is unmistakable. To the first hearers of this story, the first 2.5 generations, a story of the chaos, salty water, and fresh water, their expression. After 2.5 generations of this story comes where God hovers above the waters. One God, not many gods, not warring gods, and jealous gods. One God creates heaven and earth, and this God, Israel, is not chaos like Apsu and Tiamat, the swirl of the fresh and the salty waters. No, this God stands apart from and above the chaos, above the void, and apart from the Spirit. Creatively and redemptively over the waters, over all that had threatened to destroy Israel, God is sovereign over all of it. What are our origin stories? God bring about redemption, because whatever chaos we have created in our origin stories, that we have through our origin stories, God is over that water too. Unmistakable. And the people who heard it first in Israel must have heard this story. Their origin story has been unmistakable upon them as captives. Israel was liberated. This would be written. They were just relearning what it meant to be free people again. While they were seeking to reestablish not just the ruined structures of their sacred city, Jerusalem, but the structures of their own collective identity, Israel's scribes and priests reached the deep and rich well of their oral and prophetic and they prayerfully craft this origin story intended to reorient the disoriented people. Use them with their God-given vocation to and to empower them to become who they already were. God's chosen. This story was crafted to subvert, to uproot, and false stories under which Israel had been oppressed and captives in Babylon, and uproot and subvert and dismantle all of the false stories we have been told and we continue to tell. This is the origin story intended to recreate the imagination of all, reset the imagination of all of our consciousness. Passage that we read this morning in Genesis 1, or the parts of it, it's just part of Israel's origin story. And as I said before, I believe it to be the origin story, not only for Israel, but for all the people of the world. According to the origin story of Genesis, and interpretations of it throughout the Bible, the world is not created out of violence and oppression. It is created out of love. Out of the overflowing gives life, death, all things, all of surveys, everything that is made, and says, this is very good. God creates humanity. And quick pause, this is really important. The word in the text here, Adam, is a neutered word. It is not a gendered word. It is gender neutral. It means generically and encompassingly humanity. It does not denote male or female. Adam means humanity. This God creates humanity not as something entirely other than the gods, and not just to appease the gods so that chaos won't reign like in the Enuma Elish. This God creates humanity in the very image. Sharing in God's life. This God creates humanity to participate in the ongoing creation of the world. This God creates humanity to do what God does. God creates us to share in God's dominion. Did you hear it twice in the text? What is humankind? That's heavens full of stars and moon, amazing creation. Are we that you would consider to get lower than God, just lower than the angels, and on us the dignity of dominion? That we would do what you do, God, that we would participate in your life, God? And there's no way to read this story with integrity. As a way of sharing life with God. We see in Israel's origin and then fully embodied of Jesus that the way of dominion that God invites us into is the way of service. It's the way of humble and tender care, the way of healing touch and restoration, the way of forgiveness and redemption. It's the way of embrace and inclusion. It's the way of love. God's way of dominion promotes the flourishing of all creation. God's dominion promotes the very goodness of all creation. And in the Hebrew text, when God says this is very good, it doesn't just mean the objects themselves, the creations themselves are very good. It means the relationships between them are very good. The goodness that we are called to promote through dominion is the flourishing of all things in relationship to one another. The flourishing of all people in relationship to one another and all of us in relationship to creation. This is dominion in the way of the God who creates in Genesis 1. According to this origin story, all of creation is created in the image of God to join in the life of God by exercising dominion in the way of God. Unlike and intended to undermine the Enuma Elish and all other stories. The Genesis story is a story of life and of goodness and of peace, ultimately of love. It is to be the origin story that forms our imaginations. The story, our thinking about our role in the world, our place. It is the foundation of our identity. Are you with Jesus? And then pouring out of the Holy Spirit came to life. Of the God who created humanity and image. And in Jesus, we God. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. story. It's just the story for all of humanity. You take this story to a new community, one that is marked by the very life of God, by the relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that is so beautiful and overflowing that it created in the first place and continues to recreate and make all things new. God intends for all of humanity to be immersed in that story and in the very life of God, in order that all might know the deepest truths of our identity, that all of us bear the image of God, that all of us are created to share in the life of God, that all of us are created to exercise dominion and so care for one another and all of creation with God in the ways of God. This is our origin story. This is the story that bestows and reinforces our identity. We are all told, and we have all lived, a lot of different stories. Some true, some not so true. Some stories that bring light and order, others that only bring chaos and darkness. Some of the stories we've been told and lived affirm the dignity and inclusion of all people, and others create insiders and outsiders. Through Israel, God gives us an origin story against which we are to measure every other story that we are told. An origin story according to which we can and must judge every other story. To either be good and true and beautiful and of the Lord, or to be destructive and deceptive and to be rejected. So what are the stories that you've been told? What are your origin stories? Think about the stories of your family. Think about your experiences in school. Think about your most significant relationships. Church. We've been told. It is the image of God. To be good and true, or to be false and to be rejected, friends. You've been told, tell you that you are sovereign. Or do they tell you that God is lovingly sovereign over you upon an utterly faithful creator? They teach you to see yourself in solidarity with them? Or do those stories create us and them? Friends, if the stories you're thinking of diminish you, if the stories you're thinking of diminish other people, if the stories you're thinking of create a separation in your own sense of self from community or separate anyone else out of community, that story is out of sync with our origin story. It is out of sync with the story we see embodied in Jesus. It is out of sync. It is untrue. It is the Enuma Elish. It is false. It is oppressive. It is violent. It is to be rejected. Only the stories that create solidarity among us, that create a sense that we are all created and in desperate need of the loving sustaining of our faithful Creator, that all of us need to be breathed into the breath of life continually, that all of us need forgiveness and redemption and healing and restoration. Only the stories that create solidarity in our common need and in the common goodness of the God who made us. Only those stories can tell us the truth about who we are. And every other story needs to fall by the wayside. And we need to leave it behind and wipe the dust off our feet. Friends, if the stories that we believe justify or gloss over violence or oppression of any kind, they are Enuma Elish. They are violent and oppressive. They are false stories. The story of Jesus, the extension of this origin story, this is the true story of the God who gives us an origin story that bears fruit, an origin story that bestows identity and produces life and beauty. The story of Jesus can overcome and can transform every other story we've been told or been forced to live in this world of darkness and chaos. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the one who said, "Let there be light." And the darkness will not overcome him. Our origin story does not deny the presence of darkness. Our origin story doesn't say, "Oh, there's no chaos. Oh, there's no deep void. Oh, there's no frightening deeps." It does not deny the reality of the waters that threaten us. But our origin story, where it is profoundly realistic about all that threatens in our world, it declares over us that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, is hovering over those waters and is sovereign and can say and does say, "Let there be light," and light comes forth and it is good. Who does say, "Separate water from land and bring forth everything that is living and give them everything that they need to survive and to flourish and to participate with me in the flourishing of all creation." Our God hovers over everything that is chaos in our lives. And this story continues to be written that we need not be afraid of the stories that have attempted to define us. We need to name them. We need to reject them. We need to believe the true story, the origin story that we've been given in Jesus. We need to live that story. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it may be so. Amen.
Amen.